The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
We can all have that consolation, flee for refuge, according to Hebrews, to lay hold on the hope set before us, a hope and an anchor of the soul, sure, steadfast, that entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner has for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our hope is certainly in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Is our earnest expectation. And like Brother Ben, I've swore off politics for 2 years. And by swearing off, I mean I don't watch the news. The only news I get is usually local news and what I read out of the newspaper or somebody publishes on Facebook. You know what all goes on there. They got an axe to grind or something, and they're going to put out their own particular partisan view, if you will. But I just say, stick with the book and you'll be all right. As thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And because we know he's going to stick with us, don't we?
Amen.
But if we disobey, like Brother Ben has said, while we've experienced the chastening hand of the Lord, and it can be very severe. And America's not too big to be taken to the woodshed.
That's right.
That's not original with me. I heard Elder Sam Bryant say that one time. That stuck in my mind. And so there is a remedy, however. There is a remedy. And it rests with the people of God. That's where the remedy rests.
Right.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, you know, there are some thens in the Bible.
Right.
You know, on the Price is Right, sometimes they got this game where they say they got a price there. Is it now price or is it the then price? Like many years ago. Well, this is now and this is then. If my people will do this, he says, then will I hear a voice from heaven and will forgive their sins. See, it's always a sin problem.
Right.
It's always a sin problem. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yes.
As Brother Tony said this morning, healing is all with God, you know. I heard Elder Sonny Pyle saying he didn't believe in divine healers.
Right.
But he did believe in divine healing. I don't believe there's any divine healers today, but I do believe there is a divine healer.
Amen.
And he's in heaven and immortal glory.
That's right.
And he has healed us of all our sicknesses, according to the Bible. But a lot of people will use that verse to say that he don't ever want you to get sick, that you should never be sick because he has healed your sicknesses. And if you're ever sick, it's just because you hadn't got enough faith. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what the Scripture says. I believe that we get sick because we're sinners.
Amen. Amen.
And the reason why we die is because we're sinners. But the reason why we won't die separated from God is because we have a sinner saver.
Yes, right.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse... well, let's just read verse 9 first, and then we'll back up to the preceding verse, Lord willing. Much more, verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our thoughts this afternoon for the time we stand before you is on that thought, much more. Much more then, now, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What made all this possible? He tells us in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Not because we were friendly toward him, we were enemies toward him, according to the Bible. Died for the ungodly. And he goes on to explain it further. "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." So we got, would we die for a righteous man, a good man? But he didn't die for a righteous man. He didn't die for a good man.
Right.
But he died for those who were ungodly.
Amen.
Ungodly. Steeped in sin. By virtue of what Brother Piles told us this morning, that the transgression in the Garden of Eden brought death upon us all, separation from God. But he died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us. Aren't you glad that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Amen. He's writing here to these Romans, brothers and sisters in Christ, that he died for us when we were yet sinners, ungodly, no strength. Oh, we had physical strength, but we didn't have any spiritual strength.
Right.
That can only come from God. And in that condition, why, as Brother Ben said over there in Ezekiel, "I passed by thee and you were polluted in your own blood." And in that polluted, he said, "Live, and I say unto thee, live."
Live.
You know what happens when the Lord says live? You live.
Live. That's right.
When he formed Adam of the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul.
Right.
All life comes from God. And it's a shame and disgrace that they're taking lives of babies and aborting them. They are creations of God. That's, you started as an embryo one time,
right,
between your mother and your father. And the Lord is not going to sweep all that stuff under the rug.
Right. Amen.
He didn't sweep your sin under the rug. He paid for it.
Amen.
At the cross of Calvary. All the sins of all God's people, and they've been billions of them ever since Adam and Eve, and they've all been paid for by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and justified because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin.
Right.
How many of you today would give your life for some wicked person that's living an ungodly life here in this life? Would you be willing to lay down your life for that person? I'm sure you'd probably be willing to lay it down, like your life for your children or your wife or anything like that. But for someone like that, would you be willing to lay down your life? Jesus did.
Amen.
Jesus did. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. And Brother Joe mentioned this morning that Job long ago says, "I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God?" He knew that God, that God's people must be just, declared righteous in the sight of God to live with him. But how can it be?
Right.
In that same book of Job, chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, "Shall a mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, and are crushed before the moth." Simply said, that means he put no trust in man.
Amen. That's right.
No trust in man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our welfare was committed into the hands of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now justified by his blood. We're saved from wrath through him. There is a wrath to come, but it isn't going to fall upon his chosen people.
Right.
That wrath is going to fall on those who are wicked and steeped in sin, and we were all headed in that direction. And that's where we would have wound up and suffered the vengeance and eternal wrath of God, except for his great love,
amen,
wherewith he loved us.
Amen.
Even when we were dead in sin. And if it wasn't for that love of God, we'd just be like every other wicked person that's in the world. It has no love for God. By the grace of God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." It wasn't by the grace of God he was a sinner, but it was by the grace of God he knew he was a sinner. That he knew he was. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So Paul felt to be the chief of sinners. Then he felt to be the chief of sinners.
Right.
But at one time he felt to be the chief of the Pharisees. The Hebrews. Philippians chapter 3. If anybody had any reason to have confidence in the flesh, Paul says, "I got more reason than anybody else.
Right.
I was a stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." But now that's all been renounced. Why? Because the Lord has wrote a law in his mind and in his heart, and has shown him that he's a sinner and in need of a Savior.
That's right.
"Oh, wretched man that he am, I am," he says in Romans chapter 8. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." In the Thessalonian letter, the last verse of the first chapter, they said they had turned from idols to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Aren't you glad there's a deliverer that has delivered us from the wrath to come? And Paul wrote this, and he also wrote that. And let God be true and every man a lie.
Amen.
And God's word is true. I love that verse over there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, when he says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. All of his ways are just." And he said, everything is perfect with God. He knows all about you this morning.
Amen.
Or this afternoon. But one day, we'll know even as we're known, Scripture says. "For if, when we were enemies, we reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life."
Right.
You see the contrast here? Much more, being reconciled. Reconciliation implies that there was a breach, there's a separation, that they weren't in fellowship. You know, Amos said in 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Unless you be brought into divine agreement between God, you'll never walk with him here in time, and you'll certainly never walk with him in glory."
That's right.
In heaven and immortal glory.
Right.
He says we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God didn't need to be reconciled to us, but certainly we needed to be reconciled to God.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation." God was in Christ, reconciling the world, not the whole Adamic world, but the world of his people, the world of his chosen, the world of his sheep. And there are dozens of names that they let go by in the Scripture. Here he uses that word "world." "To wit, that God was in the world, reconciling the world unto himself, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." And that's what we've been trying to preach here today, is the word of reconciliation. To give you the word, the knowledge, that you've been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. Much more. Much more. Aren't you glad there's much more?
Right.
In the 9th chapter of Hebrews, let's turn there and read those verses. In chapter 9, it talks about the deliverance of the Savior and what he's wrought, what could not deliver, and what has delivered. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus has entered in. He's entered into the holy place. He's the forerunner. And a forerunner means there's somebody else going to follow him. And we're going to follow him one day after a while in heaven and immortal glory. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Children of God, something's been obtained. You haven't obtained it, but Jesus has obtained it for you and I.
Amen.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purified of the flesh. And we'll take that as a statement of fact. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more shall the blood of Christ, these are the blood of bulls and of goats and of animals, they sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. And we already saw, Brother Joe said, the law is good and holy and righteous. It was given for God for that purpose. And the only thing wrong with it, as he pointed out this morning, is the fact of the people who were keeping it. For the law was weak through the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn the sinner, but the sin that would have condemned the sinner has been condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ and being now justified by his blood. There is now, therefore now, no condemnation that are those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is condemned and your room is dead.
That's right.
He was condemned to Calvary. And Pilate said that he didn't find any fault with it. And he kind of washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this. Of course, you can wash your hands all you want, but that's not going to cleanse you. If you've got sin in your hands, you will still have sin.
Amen.
It cannot wash away the filthiness of the flesh. But the blood of Christ has washed away your filthiness in the sight of God. Be justified. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 asks the question, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that what condemneth? Before the bar of justice, there will be no person to rise up and condemn you because Jesus has suffered that condemnation for you and I. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, seated at the right hand of God. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Children of God, there's a man in heaven today who's living and seated at the right hand of God, and for every sin that you have ever committed, the blood of Christ pleads your case and said you can't charge him with that.
Right. Amen.
You can't charge him for that. Why? Because I paid that price, and God doesn't collect for debts twice.
Amen. Amen.
He's collected once at Calvary. And okay. Jesus.
Amen.
Paid the debt.
Amen.
All to him I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And you know how the snow was. It sure was blinding this with all that snow on there and the brightness of it and the sun shining up against it. You know, you almost have to have something to protect your eyes. It was so bright. Well, that doesn't even compare to how you are in the sight of God.
Amen.
Whiter than snow. Well, Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'd be white as snow, and red like crimson, they'll be as wool. White. The purity that must be. How much more shall the blood of Christ, he offered himself without spot to God. You know, they tried to keep the lamb up the Passover up until the 14th day, I believe it was. See, you know, is this a good one? Is any spot or blemish in it before it was offered a sacrifice? And you know, by the way, God's not going to just accept anything.
Right. Amen.
And he didn't accept all those blood of bulls and goats and animals because that wasn't sufficient. It had to be another lamb. And John pointed him out in 1 and 29 when he said, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world.
Right.
He offered himself without spot, not to you and I, but to God. And right. God said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And by the way, Jesus was satisfied.
Amen.
According to Isaiah 53,
right.
He says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many.
Amen.
How many? As many as God loves.
Amen.
That's how many. How many is going to have eternal life? Just like Brother Joe mentioned this morning, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How much more shall the blood of Christ? For at this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. Talk about Moses being the mediator between Israel and God to spare him from the wrath. God said, you know, it's a miracle that God didn't set a torch to us right now and wipe us out.
That's right.
Just zap us because of all the things that we have flown it in his face.
Right.
But I'm glad he's a merciful God, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm glad that those tables that Brother Pyle told us about is under the mercy seat, and it's through the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. Where do you want to retreat today? From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat that is found beneath the mercy seat.
Yes, sir.
That's where it's found. I'm glad we know where to go, do we not?
Amen.
He's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I've said this before, and I still say it again. I had some reason to change my mind. It's still, I think those Old Testament were saved from the wrath to come, just like you and I were saved from the wrath
right.
to come, but they were saved on credit. There's a credit of the blood of the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
Right.
It was credit to their account. When Abel offered up that sacrifice in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they have an account of it, and also back in the book of Genesis, he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. Not would be.
Right. Amen.
But he was righteous. And God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead, yet speaking. And look how long Abel's been dead. But you know, he's still testifying. He's still speaking. He's still speaking. And I think we've got saints today that was in this church and in the church at Bethany. And they've been dead and going to be with the Lord for a long, long time. But their faith is still speaking volumes to
Amen.
Those who are alive today and remember their love and dedication for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And being in the house of God whenever the church doors were open and they were able to go. That's where they wanted to be. Much more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, wonderful messages about Moses this morning. Well, Paul mentions about a glory in Moses' day, and there's a glory that still remains for the child of God in the New Testament and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin reading in verse 5. Not that we're sufficient to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. An older minister told me way back shortly after I was ordained, he said, Brother Larry, God has made us all able ministers. And I assumed he was mentioning this scripture right here.
Mm-hmm.
If God's made you a minister, he's made you an able one.
Yeah.
He's made you an able minister, not of the letter, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Amen.
Now he's going to paint a contrast between death and life, of that which was under the law and that which is under grace. For if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, and we saw very ably that is already presented that it was written and it was engraven in stones, that Mosaic law, and it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. It was going to be done away. And by the way, do you know why the law was added? The Bible tells us it was added because of transgression.
Right.
Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was added because of transgression. And who's the seed to whom the promise was made? The seed being the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
If the administration of death written engraven in stones is glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. Remember, he had to put a veil over his flesh for them to be able to see him. It shone so. Can you just imagine how that looked when he came down and he had that glow on his face?
Right.
He said, how shall not the ministration of the gospel be rather glorious? If the ministration of death was glorious, how much more shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?
Right.
It's more than that. It pales in comparison. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, and it was, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Amen.
Here's the ministration of righteousness, and it goes so far beyond what was back there than it is today. No wonder he would tell his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they see. I mean, your ears, for they hear. For I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and haven't seen them, and to hear what you hear and haven't heard them.
That's right.
Much better. Matter of fact, this whole book of Hebrews is a bunch of betters.
Amen.
There's a lot of betters in the book of Hebrews. But children of God, the better and the best is yet to come.
Amen. That's right.
There's something that remains. This still remains. That's been done away. It was glorious for its day, but now the penalty has been paid. The gospel has been ushered in, and that which remaineth is more glorious than that. And in the Hebrews, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remains a rest. And it's in this good news right here.
Amen.
For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. There's something which remains, children of God. And it'll remain until the Lord comes back. It'll be remaining.
That's right.
For the child of God to enjoy and enjoy the wonderful name much more. Much more. Aren't you glad? There's a man in heaven today seated at the right hand of God. And when he rose victorious, showing that he was alive and that he had paid the debt, he showed him his hands and his feet, and they believed that it was the Christ. Elder Roger Miller preached a sermon here a few years ago over to Tombeebee Association. Is there anything man-made in heaven? Anything man-made in heaven? Well, when Jesus was crucified, that was something man-made. And that was those spikes and marks in his hands and in his feet. Well, after he had been crucified and rose again the third day, what did he show his disciples in Luke 24 and also John 20? He showed them his hands and his feet, where the prints of those nails were, in his hands and in his feet. Well, I think that same man is seated at the right hand of God today, making intercession for us, truly in a glorified form, but those same man-made scars are there in heaven in immortal glory, and he makes intercession for us according to the will of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder Pilate would say, behold the man. I don't think he knew what he was saying when he said, behold the man, because he was a man, all right. But he wasn't just any man. He was the God-man. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This man, not another man. There had been many men before Christ, many righteous men before Christ. But they didn't have what it took. They didn't have the price. But Jesus is the one that had the price.
That's right.
He paid the price for me and you and every other child of God. I'll finish up with a practical aspect in Matthew chapter 6. We've had many prayers here today. Been praying for the meeting, I know. And certainly every time you go to the house of God, be praying for the meeting. Be praying for the Spirit of God to be there and the prayers and the singing and that God would bless everyone. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, excuse me, chapter 7. Beginning in verse 7, we'll read about four verses here and then we'll give way. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. Unto him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, you know the answer to those questions is no. He's not going to give you right the opposite of that what you're in need of.
Right.
Because he is a loving heavenly Father and died for you when you were yet sinners. If you then, being evil, you know the Bible says that a man at his own best state just altogether vanity.
Vanity, that's right.
Everybody in this congregation, if I've ever been in a good state, it was vanity.
Yeah.
Your best state. Huh. Even when I got married and all dressed up in a tux, I was altogether vanity.
Right.
My best state. He said, if you being know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I tell you, all the good things come from God. All the bad things come from this world. Give good things. The trouble is, we don't know what's good for us a lot of times.
Amen.
But the Lord knows what's good for you. And we don't. Aren't you glad God doesn't give you everything you asked for?
Amen.
You know, sometimes when you're growing up, somebody says, oh, I wish I were dead. Well, you might get your wish someday. Don't be wishing you were dead. Because that's as far as you can go in this life.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad God doesn't give you what you asked for a lot of times?
Amen.
You know, the Israelites, they wanted a king. And the Lord told him all the things he was going to do for them, but they still wanted to be like everybody else. He gave them what they wanted, and you see how that turned out.
Right. Amen.
You see how that turned out. That wasn't what they needed. Isaiah tells us, he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if we aren't getting any good things, maybe because we aren't walking uprightly.
Yes, sir.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? He's our mediator. Well, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, your Father does much more than any natural father ever done.
Amen.
Your natural father could not pay the sin debt. He'd do a lot for you, anything he could, I'm sure. But Jesus Christ, he's the one that's seated there. How much more? He's able to do exceeding abundantly more than you're able to ask or think.
Right.
Much more. And when you have done the best you can, God's able to do much more than you've ever done. People like to brag about all the things they've done for the Lord. I haven't done much for the Lord. I tell you what, he's done a whole lot for me.
Amen.
Whole lot for me. And I know he has you too. May God bless you and keep you, is our prayer. And when you have opportunity, mine do, pray for me and mine.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.